It's really great to be back and to see so many of you. But this is a really interesting little passage, isn't it, that we had read the first reading from James. Because it's very, very, very practical. How many people here think they're very practical people? They like the doing and the sort of, right, okay, quite a lot of us are very practical people. And there's this little letter in the Bible written by a guy called James. And it's very, very practical. What's a bit tricky about it is that it's not like something that maybe comes from that St. Paul wrote, where there's a kind of a really clear argument that's developed. In James, it's a bit different. There's lots of little top tips that are kind of strung together. And so we've got three top tips today that we're going to look at. But first of all, a little bit about James. James was probably the brother of Jesus. He was someone who had been around the disciples. He was probably the brother of Jesus. He wasn't the disciple James. So you often think about James and John. This is a different guy. But he was really important because he'd become the main leader of the Council of Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem, of course, there was a church where it all kind of started, and then it went out. But he was the guy who was the main person. And we know that he was important because Paul talks about him being a pillar of the church. Peter, and another after he gets out of prison, when the angel releases him, says, go and tell James. So he's a bit like the bishop, or perhaps, dare I say it, the Pope. Back then, James was the big man. St. Peter, as it went on, became known as the head of the church. But actually, at the start, it was this guy, James. And so he was someone who was in a position of authority to tell people, to give them some top tips. And this is what he does. And as he does this, it seems to me, it seems from the reading, that these are things that he thinks are very, very important. Because he says, be sure to do this. And he does it in a very, quite a forceful way. It's a little bit like saying, perhaps a better translation would be, just make sure you get this right. They're under lots of pressure. Some of you are under lots of pressure, many of us are. But they're saying, make sure you get these things right. And the first thing he says is, be quick to listen. How many of you kids in school, have you ever had a teacher saying, you need to listen? Ever had that? When I was at school, when I was six, my teacher asked me to have a hearing test. Because they thought there must be something wrong with my hearing. Because I wasn't really listening. Anyway, my hearing was fine. The old days are fairly brutal school reports, you know. These days it's all very positive. Back then I read my report from this year. I thought, wow, that's a bit harsh for a seven-year-old. But anyway, apparently I didn't listen very well. But it's important, isn't it, to listen? And for James, it seems that it's very, very important. Be quick to listen. Do you know, I meet people who have never really been listened to properly in their lives. From growing up, they've never really been listened to, and it has a big effect on them. Often people who haven't really been listened to that well, they want to let everyone know what's going on all the time, don't they? That's one of the things that we note about that. But James here is really looking at it in a particular way because, of course, these people are really under lots of pressure. And they're this tiny little group of very powerless Christians, a bit like refugees or asylum seekers in this country. They're not people with power and influence. They've got the Romans against them, they've got the others against them as well. And what do you do when you're under lots of pressure? What can you do? You lash out, don't you? You don't think. And what he's saying here is, let's practice listening to others. For James, it's incredibly important to understand what that means. When he describes this, Jesus says, the way that you do this is that you take the Bible, God's word, and you take it in your being so that it's so powerful in you that you don't feel you need to say things out all the time and blurt things out, but you can learn to have self-control and to actually listen. And what he says there is a little bit like Jesus. I think we had a song yesterday at Messy Church about building your house on a rock. And what he's saying, Jesus here is saying, is that take your words into you, and really let them change you. And that is like the man who builds his house on the rock. The way James says, he says, you get rid of all evil, you humbly accept the word that is planted in you. Who likes science fiction here? Any science fiction people? Okay, a few. There's a great sci-fi writer called Ray Bradbury. Really good one. And he wrote a book called Fahrenheit 451. Do you know what that temperature is, Fahrenheit 451? It's a temperature which books burn. And it's set in the future. And in this story, in this book, there's a character, Mondag, who is a fireman. Now, when we think fireman, we think a fireman is someone who puts out fires. Well, this guy, Mondag, is not someone who puts out fires. He's someone who starts fires and burns books. And so the idea is that any book that is subversive or any book that is considered to be where the government can't control people is burned. Okay? And so he's a fireman, and he realizes what's going on and becomes disillusioned, and so he joins the resistance. What do you think the resistance do to oppose the firemen? What do they do? What can you do if all the books are being burned? What they do is they memorize them. And so they get these books and they read them and they memorize them so that they're actually within the person. In other words, you can't, well, you know, it's there. It's not a book that can be burned because it's there. And here in this little passage, James is saying as Christians, we need to have the Bible as part of who we are, really taking it in. And as we do that, we're actually able to do very difficult things like listening. And that's what we're called to do. So next time you're in a situation where you want to blurt something out, James is saying, no, you need to listen. Because obviously there was a lot of people like me when I was in year 7 who couldn't listen and instead were always talking to other people and gossiping. Okay. Secondly, he goes on and says, just do it. You know that ad, the Nike ad, just do it? He says, do what the word says. And that's perhaps the tough part that we have here. James, I guess, had some Christians in mind who sort of were understanding and learning about what the Christian faith was about, but they weren't doing it. It was all up here. It wasn't in here or out here. And so James is saying, to make a difference, you need to actually be prepared to go out there and to share your faith, to be generous in giving, to help out, to do lots of other things. I know Marjorie today, I think, is being very generous. We have the coffee's all on Marjorie because it's her birthday this week. Well, it's a very small example of what it looks like to be generous. There's all sorts of other ways that we can be generous in our lives and things that we can do and ways of actually just getting out there and doing it. And I guess for us, what we might say is that this, what we're going to be doing in a few months' time here is about just getting out there and doing it. We're going to look at that shortly, in a minute. I have just been in Australia, as everyone knows. And while I was there, I managed to get somehow, well, actually, it was several months ago, I was asked to do something, do a seminar. My dad has this group of people that come together and they have a meal and then they have a seminar. And I was thinking, oh, that'll be nice. You know, a little group of people around a dinner table. Anyway, 50 people turned up. Couldn't believe it. Well, I kind of knew beforehand, but there's loads of people. And it was a seminar on, isn't that terrible? I do know what it was on. Because I led it. It was on flourishing. I did it on flourishing. What does it mean to flourish as a Christian and as the church? And it was good. But here's the interesting thing. As I looked out in that group of people, quite a lot of them were older. Because my parents are 80 now, so their generation are a bit older. And some of them are younger than that. But most of the people were in their 60s, 70s, and 70s. I was looking at it, I was thinking, I know a lot of these people, and these people are real grafters in the church. What happened was, back in the late 50s, there was a bunch of crusades by a guy called Billy Graham. And around that time, a lot of people came to faith. And this is the generation that kind of came to faith around that time, the Billy Graham generation. And somehow, this generation, the ones that I've seen anyway, are just real grafters. They just get on with it. Now, the generation, our generation, and Generation Y, and now Generation Z, which is the next one, younger than Generation Y, whatever those, like up to 20 or something, we have a very different attitude towards doing, don't we? It's sort of an option. It's an option that we could do. Whereas these Previous generations, they're like, they're there, they do it. They understand, you learn and you do, you learn and you do. There are some problems with that. You don't want to see that that's your identity is because God loves you, not because you do things. But they're just real grafters. And I was thinking, I wonder how I can help the next generations to learn what it is to be real grafters. Not just because I want people to do things to help, but actually because if we're to grow in our Christian faith, we need to develop the muscles of faith. In other words, if you're a runner, or if you go to a gym or learn an instrument, you know that you practice and that's one of the ways that you grow. You develop those muscles. In the church, it's exactly the same. We need to be hearers, but also doers. And this is one of James's big things. He says, don't just hear the word, do it. Right through James, even though there's all these what they call pericopes, which are the little paragraphs, there's lots of these all over the place. This is one of the big themes to learn to do. And it's incredibly important for us as a church to recognize what that looks like. And so he comes to his final themes, and he says that you are to practice pure faith or religion. And that's an interesting idea, isn't it? But what he's saying here really is a little bit like the passage from the gospel where these Pharisees were all focused on the outside, weren't they? Yeah, don't drink and don't eat before you've washed your hands. And what does Jesus say? He says, that's kind of irrelevant, really. Okay, it's actually about what's inside, what's in our hearts, not about what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And so as James talks about this, he seems to be saying that we need to be people who, A, can control our tongue. So there's lots of gossip going on in this church. We need to control that. But again and again, he comes back to this idea of being pure in the way that we live, being pure, not being distracted, not being polluted by things. In Australia at the moment, one of the really big issues, massive issues, and this is an issue that affects the whole of the country. It's global warming, but also pollution. On the Great Barrier Reef, we went out on the Great Barrier Reef, we went snorkeling, and what you see is because of global warming, it's just changed, even since I went 6 years ago, and it's the color has changed because of what's gone on. But one of the big issues that's going on at the moment is there's a big mine, a big coal mine, proposed to be built inside from the Great Barrier Reef, $21 billion coal mine. The problem is that it's right near the reef, and everyone knows that there's going to be pollution and there's going to be risk of all sorts of things going on. So you have to decide, don't you? Well, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep our nice reef or are we going to dig a great big coal mine? And it's a really big issue in Australia. It's called, it's an Indian company, there's loads being discussed about this idea. So there's these two ideas. Do we keep a pristine reef with all this fish or do we dig and get out coal that we need? That's the issue. And James really is saying here, be careful about things that can pollute our lives. Be careful about the coal mines in our lives, if you like. He says, be careful about that. Be careful about that and remain pure. And so he finishes really by saying, what does that look like? What does it mean to be someone who is living in that way? And I'm glad Katrina's here today because what he says it is to do what? To look after widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To look after widows and orphans in distress. Right through history, the church, because of what's in the scriptures, in the Bible, the church is called to look after people who no one else is looking after. Today, widows, I guess, actually, it's not what, as back then, they didn't have anyone to look after them. Today, it's a little bit different. But we include refugees and asylum seekers in that. In other words, be practical in your life and look after the people on the margins. So James here is taking these different ideas. He's saying, first of all, what did he say? He said, listen. Listen to others and listen to God. Before you express yourself, listen. He then goes on and he says, I want you to make sure it's not just up here, that it's not just information. You understand, but you don't do. You need to be people who learn to do in your Christian lives. James says in another part, he says, actually, faith without works is dead. In other words, as Christians, we are called to both understand, to change, and then to be people who actually do things. Now look, I look out here and I know there's loads of people who do loads in church and in the community. That's amazing. So that's brilliant. But it's just important that we remember that the Christian life doesn't just happen like that. It doesn't just happen like that. We have to actually be people who are proactive. Probably, in terms of coming to church, we probably need to come at least a couple of times a month to just have that as part of our regular exercising routine. If you go to the gym once a month, it's not that effective, is it? It's not that effective going to the gym. It's just painful. Well, church is a bit like that. Coming and being a part of the church, it really needs to be a few times, at least a few times a month. But also getting involved in all the other things that go on here. I also want to say that, you know, it's not just about what we do in church that's important. It's what you do in your lives. But in each area of your life, the call is to put your faith into action. When someone in your workplace is being bullied or being excluded or being gossiped about, if your faith is in action, then you A, don't join in, and B, you go and show God's compassion for them. It's about action. And finally, this idea that we are called to be people who care about those on the margins, those who maybe don't have as much as everyone else has. And that's what we're trying to do, of course, with the night shelter. So I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to move on with our service. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this really quirky little letter, James, and all the different ideas that come, all the top tips. We pray that we can be good listeners, Lord. That we can be good listeners. We pray that we can be real doers in what we do. And we also pray that we stay focused on you. We don't get polluted by lots of other distractions. We stay focused on you and we care about people in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.